Good afternoon, everyone. It's good to see some friends back after a while and back from a vacation. And please open your Bibles to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 18. We have it in the bulletin. It's on the screen, but it's always good to have the Bible in front of you, whether it's the Bible app or the paper Bible, Jeremiah chapter 18. While you're turning there, a couple of things. Now that I forgot what they were. I love the testimony time. I always say that if there are four countries represented during our testimony time, it's a good Sunday. And we had Philippines, Guatemala, Japan, Kenya, and it's a good Sunday. I love our church. This is called the Mitaki International English Service. And we have Asians, Africans, Europeans, North Americans, just people from everywhere, South America. You know, this is a picture of what it will be like in heaven. If you don't like being with people from other countries, you will not enjoy heaven very much. Amen? Also, want to just just praise God. We have some pictures here. In your bulletin of some baptisms that happened last week, two of them in the river and three of them right here. And the ones last week were Kim and my mom and my dad Dave there. And I just want to praise God. My mom and dad are here visiting for a while, and I took the last week off, and it was a very busy, tiring week. My sons are driving my mom crazy, and my dad is enjoying it every moment. So, praise the Lord. Okay, so are you there? You ready? We're getting Jeremiah chapter 18. We're going to read. I think what I'd like to do, we'll just read our passage, verses 1 through 6. Jeremiah 18, 1 through 6. Let's read it together. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me. He said, "Can I not do with you, Israel, as this potter does?" declares the Lord. "Like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, Israel." This is the very word of God. Amen. Well, just in case you all get bored while I'm preaching and your mind begins to wander, I want to direct your attention here. Japan is very well known in the world of pottery. This is yakimono, pottery, baked clay. And I just borrowed these from the kitchen downstairs. These are various vases and pots. And these are, if you look, and if you're familiar with pottery, you know this is Japanese design, Japanese pottery. They come in various shapes and sizes, and usually the color is what they call jimi, which is simple or dark, and not kind of, you know, wild or bright. So, pottery is something that most of us are familiar with, and the Bible uses the imagery of pottery to teach us about our relationship with God. A few weeks ago, I preached on Hosea and the metaphor of marriage. And actually, human marriage is a metaphor itself for real marriage, which is God's marriage to his people, the church. And then last week, we preached on Hezekiah, the king. And we understand that our relationship to God is as a people in relation to a king, where the king orders the lives of his people for their good, to protect them and to provide for them, and to give them a place for their living. So the Bible has various images of husband, of king, of shepherd, of father. And the Bible gives us a very clear image of a potter and the clay. And so that's our meditation for today. A couple of things I want to share. What is the pot and who is the potter? The pot is us. Pottery comes from the dust, comes from the ground, from the dirt. Genesis chapter 1. We are of the dust. From dust you came, and to dust you shall return. You are not originally eternal. The flesh that you have is not something that will last forever. And that is something that we all need to realize, particularly the ones who are young and virulent and you know, you have all your strength with you. Just live a little bit longer, and you will understand your strength, your power, your vitality can go like that because you are made from the dust. You are part of the clay. That is your nature. And the clay, however, is given its shape and its image by the potter. And that is something very important. That tells us something about our life. There's two things. Number one, it's useful. It has a purpose. And the second thing, it's beautiful. You can look at it and say, that's made not just by a workman, that's made by an artist. That's what our life needs, all of us in here. We all need a purpose, and we all need beauty. Some of us, one more so than the other. Some of us, it's like, you know, when you receive a present. Some of you, like me, you don't care for jewelry or decorations, or you just want something you can use. You want a present? Give me something that I can take to work, something that I can handle, something that I can, you know, work with. I don't need fluff and just things that go on my desk or on my shelf, and it just gets in the way, and I got to keep it from getting dusty, right? No? Amen, somebody, right? You need something useful. But others, you want something pretty. Something to, because you have all you want. You can use tools, but you want something that's not something you can use, that there's no value in what it can use. The value is what it is by itself. Intrinsically, this makes my life good. And it doesn't help you make money. It doesn't help you be more, it actually takes money away, right? Some of you like music, right? Music is the beauty that's in your life. What does it help you with? What does music do for you? Does it help you make money? In fact, it takes money out of your pocket, but you like it because it gives you pleasure, joy, peace, comfort, right? It's beauty. Our life needs both purpose and beauty. And God is saying, I have made you out of the clay to give you purpose and to give you beauty. It's hard to live life without a purpose, and it's harder even to have life with no beauty in it. That's the nature of the clay. But now, that's just a bit of an introduction. I want us to go into the text and see more. Let's go deeper into what God is saying. So Jeremiah, the prophet. Last week, we covered... we've been covering the prophets. Pastor Hiroshi, who is the head pastor of this church, he's been doing a brilliant thing with the Japanese service. He's bringing the Japanese through the Bible historically and going through the prophets, even the minor ones, even the major ones, and talking about how God's message to Israel is his message to us. And so he gave us last week Jeremiah. Jeremiah was the teacher of Israel at the time when the capital was about to be destroyed. There was a kingdom called Babylon. He was a superpower, a world power that came after Assyria. This is around 600 BC. And God's people, Israel, the southern kingdom, Judah, the capital, Jerusalem, the center was the temple. And the ones who worked in the temple teaching God's word were the priests. Jeremiah was one of those priests. One day, God said to Jeremiah, I want you to speak to my people. And here's the problem, Jeremiah. You're going to tell them my message of warning, of judgment, of disaster, and you're going to give them a message of hope. You're going to tell them that if they don't repent, I will not relent. And you're going to say, stop with the oppression. Stop with the abuse. Stop with the corruption. Stop with the disobedience and rebellion. Stop! Otherwise, the Babylonians are going to come and destroy the city. And here's what's going to happen, Jeremiah. The people are not going to listen. This is crazy. You're going to church, you're going to preach God's word, you're going to teach the Bible, and no one's going to listen to you. Do your job, Jeremiah. Can you believe that? So, here's Jeremiah. He's preaching God's word. And he's racking his brain, and he's giving, and it's a long book. You read the whole thing, and it's depressing, because it's just so heavy. And in the middle, verses or chapters 31 to 33, there's this beautiful image of hope. I recommend the book of Jeremiah if you want hope in a very desperate situation. And if you want real, you want to get to the heart of the hope, read chapters 30 to 33. That's really good. But we're in chapter 18. And Jeremiah is told by God, okay, Jeremiah, I have a sermon ready for you. The sermon is, go down to the potter's house and watch him go to work. So Jeremiah goes down and he sees the potter and he's working. Mom was here when we did it. We went to Hagi in Yamaguchi, the prefecture next to Hiroshima. Hagi is famous for its pottery because the mud, I don't know, the earth there is a very good quality, right? Hagiaki, for some of you Japanese, you know what that is. And you can go and you can take a lesson on how to make pottery. And there's a big wheel that goes round and round, and you get a nice wet piece of clay, and you put it on the wheel, and the wheel begins turning. And by the shape of your hand, just the right amount of water, and the speed of the wheel, and the technique, and you can make, well, you could try. You could try to make a cup. And we did that years ago. I didn't bring it here because I don't want you to see what I made because it's not worth seeing. This is much better. But so in the ancient times, same kind of thing. Hasn't really changed much. There's a big wheel at the bottom, and there's a little wheel at the top for the table. The big wheel, the potter would push with his feet, and he would adjust the speed of the wheel, and that gives us makes it go round and round. And on the top, he'd put that clay, and he would mold it and shape it. And that's what Jeremiah is doing in this text. And then verse 4, here's what happens. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. Difficult word, marred. You read different translations. It says spoiled, disfigured, damaged. What's going on there? What's that? Then the next part. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as it seemed best to him. Now, what is going on here? Well, you know, we sang the song, I give my life to the potter's hand, right? And immediately when we read this, we think, I'm the clay, God is the potter. God's not finished with me yet. He's still shaping me, right? That's what we're thinking. That's not what Jeremiah is saying. Immediately we go to the personal application. But before you go to the personal, you got to get to the corporate, because it says, you are like that clay, Israel, Israel. So he's talking to his people. We have to understand this. That's how we understand the meaning of marred or spoiled or disfigured. What is he talking about? He's talking to his people. And he's saying, you, Israel, my people, I'm trying to shape you and mold you. I'm trying to put purpose and beauty into your life. I've got a use for you, and I've got value for you. But the clay, something in the clay, maybe he was trying to make something tall and long, but it didn't stand up. The clay didn't work, so it, you know, flopped. Or maybe he was trying to make something shallow and wide, but the clay wasn't good, so it kind of, you know. What's happening in Israel, the people of God, that's making the deformation? You need to go into your Bible. You need to scroll down a little bit. And we're going down to verse 11. Therefore say to the people, verse 11, 18, chapter 18, verse 11. Say to the people of Judah and those living in Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says. Look, I am preparing a disaster for you and devising a plan against you. That's Babylon. So turn from your evil ways, each one of you, and reform your ways and your actions. Repent. Verse 12, here it is. But they will reply, it's no use. We will continue with our own plans. We will all follow the stubbornness of our evil hearts. Verse 12, we're marred. We're deformed. We're spoiled. We're damaged. Chris, what are you talking about? I was mentioning this piece here. It needs purpose and it needs beauty. You know, you don't have to be a Christian to understand this, do you? You don't have to be a believer. You know, all of you, in your heart or in the back of your mind, my life needs purpose. I don't want to just go to work, come home, go to bed, wake up, just spinning my wheel. There has to be something in this life that means something. I understand that. And not only that, I need beauty. I need value and worth just as I am. Otherwise, I'm just a tool for some other guy to make money. And so we all understand, in order for my life to have meaning, purpose, and beauty, my life has to have a certain shape to it. And as far as I can tell, and as much as I've studied and I've looked around, okay, I need to have this education. I need to have this kind of partner or spouse. I need to have these kinds of friends. I need to do this kind of work. I have to live in this kind of city or this kind of house. And this is the shape of my life. Otherwise, what's the purpose and what's the meaning, right? Anybody understands that. Without that, those things, what's the point? The problem is, we're marred. We're damaged. We do something that something where we're trying to shape something and it doesn't come out right. And God is saying to his people, look, I've been telling you, this is the way you're going to go. This is what I have for you. This is the shape I've made for you. And Israel is saying, no, God, no. I know better. Is that crazy or what? The clay is telling the potter, No, I got this. God, I know where you want me to go, but I'm telling you, God, I know this way is better for me, right? God, I know who you want me to be with. I know what kind of, but I'm telling you, God, I know this is the one. This is the kind, right? And Israel was doing that very thing. Israel was telling God, God, you brought us to the promised land. You gave us all this wealth and glory and fame and security, and you provided for us. We'll take it from here, God. We'll do our own, we'll worship you, God. We'll give you, but there's Baal, there's Ashtoreth, there's these other gods, there's success, there's power, there's fame. We want those gods too. I know, God, you have your way, but God, we're telling you, this is better for us. And God is saying, you're not taking the shape I'm trying to get to you. If you can't say amen, you can say ouch. So here's Israel. And God is saying, Israel, my people, my bride, my sheep, my people, my family, my children, you're walking into a world of hurt. You're going to be deformed. Why? Because you're choosing your own way. Listen to me. I have to get to the end of this thing. The message of the Bible is all of us are damaged. We're marred. How? Because we are just like those in verse 12. We're going to decide we're going to follow our own way. Now, let's go back to God's people. I want you to apply this. Before you apply it to yourself, let's apply it to our church, okay? Our church. This is God's church. This is not Chris's church. This is not Pastor Kevin's, Pastor Hiroshi's. It's not even your church. This is God's church. Amen. And maybe you come from when you were back in your home country. You had church the way you had church there, and you come to me talking, you're like, it's not really how it is, how it's supposed to be, right? I've been there. Hey, 17 years ago, came to this church, sat right where Omar was sitting right there. Maybe like a few people here. It's like maybe five, six, seven, okay? I come in. They're doing the same thing we do now, four things. You sing at the beginning. You have testimony time. You have the sermon. Afterward, you have fellowship. Same thing. It was just shorter. You come in, maybe 10 minutes, somebody on a guitar. Just a guitar. No drums, no bass, no bass. Okay. And then after that, testimony time. Anybody have anything to say? Crickets. All right. And then after that, you'd have the sermon, and I'm not going to name names, but sometimes you understood the sermon, it was just downloaded from the internet, and it was just read word for word. It was not an original sermon. It was just... Okay. Now, what the church I grew up in, Ocean View Baptist Church, San Pedro, California, Dr. Rich Freeman, my mentor, it was like 2 songs, prayer, skit, a special number, and the skit would last 5 minutes. If it went long, it would go 5 minutes and 30 seconds. And there was a special number, and then the sermon would begin at 11:35, and it would go to 11:55. Right on. And listen to me. If the pastor finished his sermon and you looked at your watch, it's 11:56, your watch was 1 minute early, right? Because Pastor Freeman, he had it right on the money every single time. Everything was set, boom, boom, boom. And I come to Mitake, my first Sunday. Anybody got a testimony? Right? Who's gonna pray for the offering, right? Same thing here, right? Nothing's changed over 17 years. Just got longer, that's all. And when I first came here, I thought, God, this is not how you do church. It's not how you do it. And God was telling me, I was sitting right there, God was telling me, Chris, this is not your church. This is my church. You can go to a big church, small church, white church, black church, Asian church, brown church. It's God's people, and he's going to do it his way because he is the potter. We are the clay. And he's going to shape Mitake. He's going to shape your church back home. He's going to shape us the way he wants it. And it's going to be beautiful. Beautiful. That's one thing. Second thing is this. We have to be careful. Because the church is, even today, the church, God's people, is, our tendency is to go, God, we understand what you say about sexuality and about marriage. God, we understand, it's written, it's clear in the Bible what you want for our sexuality and how you define marriage. But God, we're telling you, the culture is going this way. God is saying, my people, listen, my people, be very careful. Be very careful. And God is very clear on money, on success. You know what? There are more verses in the Bible about money than there are about love. Did you know that? God knows and he cares for your money too. But the church these days, we're like, God, we know what you say about money and how we should give and the importance of being generous and sacrificing so that others can have. But God, we need a pastor with this income. We need to have him wear these suits and have this kind of house. Right? And God is saying, my church, my people. Be very careful. Be very careful of how you want your pastor to be, how you want this church to be, what kind of message you're listening to, and what direction his people are going in. I'm preaching to myself on this. Yeah. Okay. Before we get to ourselves, we get to the people. It was marred. The clay was deformed and misshaped by sin. So here's what the master potter does. He says, okay, Babylon is going to come in and mar it and destroy it. But 70 years from now, Jeremiah is saying, I'm going to make it new. I'm going to take the damaged goods and I'm going to make something better out of it. as it seems best to me. Verse 4. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, that though the clay was damaged, I can trust the potter. You see, you all know your life needs a shape and a form, but it's not the shape and the form you thought it would be. And so God is here right now. He's right here. He's saying, put yourself in my hands. I'm going to shape you. And some of you are thinking in the back of your mind, God, I don't know if I can trust you. I don't know. I don't know because I don't know if it's going to go well for me. I've tried my way. It hasn't worked, but it's the only way I know. God, if I trust you, if I put myself in your hand, how do I know, God? Will it go well for me? I'm not going to preach to you that it's going to go well for you. I'm not. Kayla Mueller. She was a humanitarian aid worker from Arizona. She went to the poorest of the poor around the world to help in their situation. She went to Syria in 2013 to help in a hospital. ISIS or ISIL came in, captured her, and for 18 months she was tortured. She was forced into a marriage. She was abused. February 2015, ISIS reported she was dead, likely killed by ISIS themselves. Interesting thing. They would put her in front of a camera and tell the camera, you have now become a Muslim, and you're here to renounce your Christian faith, right? And you know what she said? She looked right into the camera. She said, no, I did not. She followed Christ. She put herself in the potter's hand. It did not go well for her. She was broken. I don't know if it's going to go well for you, but how do you know? For those of you, English is your second language. We have this expression. Feel free to use it. I'm going to use it for my kids. If you go into a store and things are fragile and they can break, you tell your kids, if you break it, you buy it. You break it, you buy it. If something's broken, a price must be paid. You break it, you buy it. We have broken our lives. Terribly. It's worse than you think. You have broken it worse than you think. God's judgment, his wrath, his anger is something we all deserve. It's broken. But here's the good news. Jesus paid the price. We broke it, he bought it. How do you know you can put yourself into the potter's hand? He proved it on the cross. That his love was so good, was so great for you, he will pay any price to put you back together. Where am I getting this? Where do I get it? If you have your Bible, Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah 53, I don't know if that's not up there. Isaiah 53, one of my favorite chapters. It's talking about Jesus. Talking about Jesus, and it says this, he was pierced for our transgressions. Isaiah 53, verse 5. He was crushed for our iniquities. He was broken for our sin. The punishment that brought our peace was on him. Did you see that? Did you see that? He was broken so we can be put back together. And by his wounds, we are healed. Now, flip back a few more pages to Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah 43, verse 1. Here's what it says. Now, says Yahweh who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel. Don't be afraid. How do I know, God? How do I know you're going to love me? How do I know I'm safe in the potter's hand? He says, don't be afraid. I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name, and you are mine. I paid the price for you on that cross, and I'm going to put you back together because of my love for you. Let's go back. Let's close this. Chris, can you show me the pictures? In Japan, there's a specific kind of pottery. It's called kintsugi. Kintsugi or kintsugiroi. Hopefully, I'm getting it right, Japanese people. Kintsugi, right? But here's what it means. It means kin is gold. Tsugi is to join things together. So joining something with gold, right? Or kintsugiroi. Kin is gold, and tsukuroi is repair, so golden repair. Chris, what are you talking about? See, this pottery, not that expensive. Yeah, we can all afford this. But most of y'all, you have never heard of this because you can't afford this. This is the expensive stuff. Why? Because it's gold, silver, or platinum. And we like this because this was the original. This is how it was made at first. But in Japanese art, Japanese philosophy, it's not because it's new that makes it valuable. It's because it's old. It's used. It has character, right? And even though it may be broken, the brokenness is what gives it the value. Yeah? And so what the masters would do is if they would take a piece of pottery that's been chipped or broken, damaged, marred, they figured out a way to put it back together, right? To rejoin it, to repair it. But here's what they did. They said, we're not going to hide the flaws. Yeah, we're going to put it gold, silver, or platinum. We're going to highlight. And what happens is the repaired pottery is more valuable than the original. Right? You catching this? There's more value, there's more beauty, and it's more useful because it's been redeemed. Israel, my people, don't be afraid. I have redeemed you, and I have called you by name. You are mine. I have paid the price. By his stripes, we are whole. You don't have to be afraid. Put yourself in the potter's hand. He knows exactly how to make you new. Go ahead, give me another one. Chris, give me another picture. This is all of us. And here, let me just apply this one real quick. This is just from Kintsugiroi. We're not people who are going to hide our flaws. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, he says, look, we hold this treasure in jars of clay. You see, we had problems with our marriage. We had problems with our children. We have problems in our professional life. We have problems in our personal life. And we come to church, oh, it's all good. I'm just a perfect human being. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I have no problems. That's not us. We come to church and we say, this is what God did with me. He redeemed my marriage. He saved my children. He helped my parents get their feet on the ground. He brought my family back together. He gave me work once more. I was unemployed. I got no shame in that. Because of the potter, the potter's touch. I want to invite you, come to the cross. Come to the cross once more, where the price was paid so you can be redeemed. He comes, he welcomes you with open arms. Put yourself right in his hands. Can you do that? Would you do that with me? Let's go right now. Let's pray. Lord, but go ahead and just close your eyes. Go ahead and bow your head. Allow me just to lead you right now in prayer, meditation. What is broken right now? What needs fixing? Maybe you damaged yourself, or maybe somebody damaged you. I'm telling you right now, God can fix that. He did it through the cross. He said, "It is finished," when he was on the cross. You have to believe. The clay does nothing except submit and obey. That's all you have to do. So, Lord, we come to you now in submission and obedience. We lay ourselves in your hand. Lord, we've been hard-hearted, hard-headed, and stiff-necked. We repent, God. Not my way, but your way. Not my will, but let your will be done, oh God. And I will trust in you, my Redeemer, my Healer, the one who makes me whole. I am the clay, you are the potter. Father, we finish this prayer with a praise. We thank you, God, for putting us back together. We thank you for the hope. Some of us, we're still broken and the pieces are still coming together. We thank you for that, God, that we can still be put back together. So God, we lift up our praise and our thanks. We confess our hope is in you alone, not our own strength or power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. So God, we put ourselves in your hand. We thank you for this time and this place. We give ourselves to you once more. In Jesus' name, amen.